Chances are, if you've heard about Puerto Rico recently, it's been about the slow, difficult recovery from Hurricane Maria. But there's another, less noticed drama playing out, one that involves New York City and could have as much impact on Puerto Rico's recovery as anything to do with FEMA or the power grid. As part of our series, Puerto Rico, the Future of Debt, reporter Jane Sassin tells us about the financial storm that devastated the territory long before the hurricane landed last fall.
We are seeing trees snap. We are seeing debris fly from the roofs of buildings.
Power's been knocked out across the entire island, which is home to 3.5 million people.
We've heard about how many homes were without power, or about tarps that weren't available when people really needed them. In a way, those numbers are easy to grasp. But they may not be the numbers that matter most when you think about rebuilding Puerto Rico's shattered economy. At least not in the ornate, wood-paneled courtroom of Judge Laura Taylor Swain.
On Friday, U.S. Chief Justice John Roberts appointed a Manhattan federal judge.
Swain is presiding over what's by far the biggest and maybe the nastiest public bankruptcy ever filed in the United States. The numbers are astounding. $72 billion in debt. Only California has more bonds outstanding. On top of that, Puerto Rico owes its public employees more than $50 billion in pensions. For the largest group of workers, it has zero funding. Zero. And that puts the island in a league of its own.
It's a fascinating story. It really is.
Richard Ravitch is a longtime public servant who has business and personal ties to Puerto Rico. He also helped lead New York City out of its own financial crisis in the 1970s.
It's like if you were writing fiction about how a government could f*** itself up totally in every respect, you couldn't do it more imaginatively than what's happened here.
He says one big problem is the lack of political leadership in both Washington and Puerto Rico. It's a void that makes what happens in Judge Swain's courtroom even more critical.
I can't tell you how complex it is.
That's Kate Long. She was one of the first people to sound the alarm on Puerto Rican bonds. Back in 2012, when she was a reporter at Reuters, she warned that the island risked becoming America's Greece.
People even in debt restructuring look at all this and just shake their head. It's so insane.
It's also unprecedented. Until now, Detroit's $18 billion bankruptcy had been the largest municipal filing in the United States. Puerto Rico's situation dwarfs Detroit. And mostly, it's Puerto Ricans who will bear the burden of paying back that debt, a sum that many, like artist Sarah Bel Santos, find unfathomable.
How can we pay that? It's completely insane. It's difficult. The people that are paying for that is us. It's not the richest man. It's not fair.
Celebrities with ties to Puerto Rico, like Lin-Manuel Miranda, are asking Congress to help.
If I can leave you with anything today, our island is in crisis.
Miranda composed a song about the island's debt that he sang on comedian John Oliver's show last week tonight.
We have to help our island just 100 miles across. To recap, 3.5 million American civilians are on the hook for billions. Vulture funds are circling and lobbying for payout. There's nothing left to tax or cut. We're stuck. We need a way out. Allow them to.
Why is the situation so complicated? Start with the fact that it's not just one case. There are five separate but interlocking bankruptcies on the court docket, including the Commonwealth itself, the Highway Authority, and PREPA, its struggling power company. Each is huge and complicated in its own right.
I feel like each of these cases could be their own Detroit, and you're dealing with this enormous caseload.
That's Patrick Mohan, an analyst with Reorg Research, a firm that specializes in covering bankruptcies.
There are all these interrelated issues that you see she not only has to worry
and there
about.
Are thousands and thousands of creditors. They range from everyday Puerto Ricans like Benjamin Hernandez, who thought he was buying ultra-safe municipal bonds.
I never thought something like this was going to happen. I won't invest a penny in government again. No, forget about it.
To Aurelius, one of the most aggressive vulture funds on Wall Street. It owns nearly $500 million of Puerto Rican bonds and is pushing hard to get as much back as it can.
What concerns me is the amount of power these guys are having in the negotiating table.
Luis Valentin Ortiz is a reporter at Puerto Rico's Center for Investigative Journalism. He's been following the fiscal crisis for years, particularly the Wall Street hedge funds who are directly involved in the bankruptcy. With so much money at stake, the creditors are not only battling the government, they're fighting each other over Puerto Rico's limited resources. And that brings up another big problem. No one really knows how much money the government has. Even before the hurricane, it was a mystery. And, to be blunt, no one trusts the numbers it does put out. It didn't help when the government said it discovered almost $7 billion in bank accounts it didn't know it had.
Thank you.
Juan Zaragoza was the Secretary of the Treasury through 2016. In a public hearing in January, he says that he had no idea how many accounts the Government Development Bank had until he began to shut it down.
I honestly thought we had like 30 or 40 bank accounts. We had 644 accounts at GDB. No one had never had the responsibility or the need to make an inventory of the bank accounts because there was enough money.
In the wake of Maria, getting an accurate take on Puerto Rico's resources is even harder. And that has made getting everyone to the table to work out a deal nearly impossible. Here's Ravitch again.
Nobody knows where the revenues are going to be, and that was compounded by the tragedy of the hurricane.
And if all that weren't enough, there's another key player. For almost 2 years, Puerto Rico's government has been under the watchful eye of the Financial Oversight and Management Board. Known as La Junta in Spanish, the 8-member board has say over Puerto Rico's finances and any future deal with the creditors. But that process, too, turned into a brawl. The board repeatedly rejected plans put forward by Governor Ricardo Rossello, demanding instead more belt-tightening. Rossello, in turn, lashed out at the board. He refused to implement pension cuts and labor reforms that it had demanded.
You are not going to come in and dictate public policy, especially not when it is going to affect our society's growth in the most vulnerable sectors. We are not going to allow it, period.
After months of dispute, the board and the governor finally compromised in late May. He agreed to push through labor reforms the board wants, and it backed off demands to trim paid sick days and bonuses for workers. Though some details remain, for now, they've avoided sending another costly round of litigation to the desk of Judge Swain. Jane Sassine, WNYC News.
Puerto Rico, the Future of Debt, is supported in part by the Jacob and Valeria Langloth Foundation, the Park Foundation, WNET's Chasing the Dream Initiative, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.